Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algy, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy.
Welcome to the latest edition of the Ages of Rock podcast. I am here once again, all three of us, which is amazing. Mr. Bill, Mr. Allen, of course, me, Dennis.
Oh, Mr. Bill.
We, of course, I'm blurred again, so that means that I have not cleaned my room yet. I'm going to start on that tomorrow. So
no, really, he's doing that because he's tired of people watching his cat take a shit.
That's true. You know what? It's about time for that little fuck to get up here, so we'll see. So anyway, before
we get started, I do want to say something real quick. For those of you who watch this show on YouTube and have earbuds in, my apologies, because usually I tweak it so that it's in both ears every week, because the Zoom, for whatever reason, only records into the left channel. And last week I was in a rush and forgot to switch it to both channels. So Dennis called me up and he's like, oh my gosh, it's only in one channel. I'm like, it'll be all right.
Everybody
that listens to it on the regular, the audio download through the podcast app or whatever, it still came through both ears correctly. So
yeah. And those you're fine. Yeah. Don't worry. Everything, it'll sound just like it does every week that you don't listen. Right. Jackass.
Yeah, it was funny because I rarely listen with earbuds, and all of a sudden I had my earbuds in, and all of a sudden I'm like going, what the fuck's the right channel?
It's gone. What do you usually use to listen? Do you just your ears, or
I usually just listen to it on my iPad, or I use it. I don't, you know, where I don't notice it going.
He listens in his garage when he's got it hooked into his big stereo speakers.
There you go. So I can't tell that it's not that
nice. So you only listen to us when you're drunk? Is that what you hear? Is that what I hear?
No, I'm actually working in the garage. You know, I need to do a lot of work out there.
Oh.
Seriously, I got it. Anyway, I do want to make a correction. Actually, I made a mistake last week. Can you believe that shit? So anyway, we were mentioning during when we were talking about Olivia Newton-John passing away, I mentioned that Andy
Timmons. Passed away.
She is still dead. Sorry. Okay. I mentioned Andy Timmons had played with her for years and ever, and then I mentioned, so anyway, I'm going to make a correction. So Andy Timmons actually was her music director, number one, for many years, played guitar with her. I mentioned that he is, and I actually did some research, and I sent a thing out to him because I want to get him on the show, and I sent a message through Messenger to his Facebook account and just realized that I did it 2 years ago and never got a response. So we're going to find out. I sent it again. Said, still like to have you on the show. But Andy, if you look at Wikipedia, it does show him being a resident, but he was born in Evansville. He actually went to Harrison High School, but he did not play with Buster Brown. He played with a band called Taylor Bay Band. And I don't know why I didn't remember that. Cause I actually know a neighbor. No, actually my neighbor, Gary, used to run sound for them, and he was in Taylor Bay, and the guy that cuts my meat at Schnucks used to be the keyboard player in Taylor Bay.
TMI.
No, my butcher at Schnucks, Matt was the keyboard player and from Taylor Bay.
I guess it's better that he cuts your meat than beating it.
It's better than cutting my cheese. You know what I'm saying? Wow, this just went to the shitter.
The connections being made tonight on this show. my third cousin has one tooth went to the dentist that I just, by the way, happens to be his dentist. it kind of feels like where we're going here.
But anyway, another thing that happened this week, or actually happened tonight, Bill's handy dandy notebook. His Jeff Gordon NASCAR handy dandy notebook is completely full now.
It is completely full. It is.
What are you going to do? You're going to get another NASCAR notepad? Or are you?
I don't think you can buy that shit anymore because nobody watches that crap. So
Jeff Gordon's been out of it for a while.
If you've never seen it, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. It's going to go in our museum.
Every It's going to go. We're going to put it in the we'll tour it so that people can get to see it if they want. You can't touch it because it'll ruin the pages.
We'll bring it to the next Rockin' Pod.
Actually, if you here's what we'll do.
No, we're going will steal to, our ideas.
We're gonna put this out. We're gonna call this Bill's Magic Book. And if you send us $150, we're gonna get it printed up and send you a copy of it.
How's you that? Send me $150, I will send you this. I will personally deliver this book.
And they might have a picture
I'm
of Kiss.
Sure
we
that
don't
just
know.
Went right over Bill's head.
I know. Did you not get
no,
that?
No, I heard exactly what you said. And I'm just trying to ignore you.
I know. That's kind of
okay. Let's play. Let's play roulette. Let's play roulette.
Now here's the funny roulette. Thing, is we're gonna offer the book out, and every time you get ready to ship the book out, oh, we did another episode. I got to write more in the book.
That are you? I'm still okay. Updating it.
I'm just gonna flip the book open and see where it lands.
Okay, let's do this. What's it gonna be?
Oh, episode number 158, Tyson Leslie.
There you go.
So our buddy that's running Vixen right now, I think. And
you know, he is back in Nashville again. Did you see him? You've been following
for Vixen. Right.
Yeah. He's going to be in Indy on Saturday. Yeah. Autograph and Vixen are going to be at the state fair.
And if somebody doesn't follow him, which I follow him on there, he actually had moved to Kansas City and moved his family out there, did all kinds of, and it was out there for less than a year. And he's now moving back to Nashville again.
Correct. Wow.
So,
and on the other side of the page, because there's two sides, is Mitch LaFon. And I don't know that could. I don't know which Mitch LaFon show that was, because he's been on like
five times,
a few times.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was just. I just thought that was pretty interesting.
And one other thing I wanted to bring up. So you had Bill. I want to say you did a great job of a solo conversation with Mr. Josie Scott.
I can pretty much take care of it when it's solo.
Yeah. That actually was a really
I'm
good
used to that.
Not an interview. That was a great conversation. I found something that he said very, very interesting. And I'm curious. This is almost a whole topic, but I found it really interesting. Because when you guys were talking, and you were talking, of course, you know, coming around to Kiss and all this stuff and growing up and doing this stuff, he made the comment. He said, he goes, you, Bill, grew up in the greatest time as far as music is concerned. You know, he wished he would have been a little bit older, mm-hmm. so he could have been in that time. Now, I think if you ask that question to anybody, I don't think I've ever met anybody or talked to anybody who said, you know what, I grew up in that right time, because I'm the same way. I think that the people that were maybe 3 to 4 years, maybe 5 years older than me, was it the best time. And the only reason I'm saying that is, you know, like with all the movies and like with Dazed and Confused, you know, I was younger at that point. You know, in the 70s, I would have been, I wasn't driving. You know, they had all the cool cars back then. And if I was a little bit older, I could have drove to a Kiss concert at that point. But, you know, I was 10, 12 years old, couldn't do it. You know, but then again, we went through and lived through all the 80s stuff, which was cool. And for people that were not, you know what I'm saying? I think that everybody looks at, it's always green. The grass is always greener.
That's
in somebody
exactly
else's
what
pasture.
I was getting ready to say.
Except for now.
Yeah, these guys are fucked. I mean,
yeah, the grass is pretty well burnt up by now.
It's roasted, man.
But I mean, have you ever noticed that though? When people always, I think everybody,
yeah,
you don't think that you were born in that right time. You're always when it comes to music, you're always like, man, I wish I was a little bit older, a little bit younger. But nobody was right. I just thought that was kind of interesting when he said that about that, because I was like going, I've said the same thing, you know, but.
Right, you know, and something else, and this is even, it's not an issue, but it's, when I use the term issue, an issue sure. between, like, you guys and me. You guys are 5 years older than me, 6 years older than me.
Sure.
You know, what's your two favorite Def Leppard albums? They're not the same two favorite Def Leppard albums that I have, and it's all of that time you discovered them.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
And one of the things that people will, you know, they'll make snide comments or something about, oh, well, that's not the real Def Leppard because, you know, that's because they didn't have a producer yet. You got the raw stuff. I get it. You like that. you know, don't knock somebody for liking something that's different than you like, you know.
Well, it's the same way with Kiss. I mean, it's right. Just whenever you found them and whatever.
I think, yeah. Know. I think the amazing thing about that, especially with bands that have a long longevity. I mean, you know, sure. You go through those periods of time, but to your point, I mean, if you ask Noah, who's 21, you know, right. Who's listened to all the music I've listened to, and you ask him what Kiss is to him, and he will tell you Kiss is Bruce and Tommy and Eric.
Sure.
Singer. I mean, sure. That's absolutely. You know, and Gene and Paul, that's his Kiss, because he never saw the other guys. So it never.
You look at somebody who's a Rolling Stones fan.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys have been good, around for 60 years.
Well, and we mentioned that the other day when you talked about your concert, Alan. I mean, Doobie Brothers. You know, there's the Doobie Brothers, the purist. Then there's the Michael McDonald people. You know, there's just a whole. But it's when you found them, that's your band. You know,
absolutely,
so it is. But I just thought that was very interesting. Listen to that conversation, which, like I said, Bill, I'll give you credit. That was a really good conversation with him.
You get no credit for any other interviews ever, Bill.
No,
fine. You know, I'm like, it was all right.
No, I'm just
Alan,
saying
what were you going to finish saying about the Rolling Stones? Didn't you finish your thought?
No, I was just saying, you know, we're talking about, you said something about longevity.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, you know, you look at Rolling Stones. They've been around for 60 years. 60 years. And they are still kicking. They're still writing and recording new material.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so they've got like 7 generations worth of fans. You know? Right. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Good Lord, they wrote their first song on Stone.
Literally.
Yeah, no kidding.
For sure. Yeah, thanks for the kudos about the interview. I appreciate that. It was a lot of fun. I mean, I really, somebody that, you know, I thought it was going to last 20 minutes, 15 minutes, look down, and all of a sudden it was at 45, and I'm like, oh my God, I forgot. I haven't even got to the part where.
We haven't gotten to the topic yet.
I haven't got to where I was talking
that's
about
yet. That's
what
I kept listening to, it, and I'm like, are they ever going to talk about that solo stuff?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. And then come to find out there's really not a lot to talk about yet, because it's still in the works, and so it all worked out perfect. But yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Cool. So anyway, yeah, so that's one other update for this week. I did buy a ticket for the Louder Than Life. I got it right this time. Louder Than Life.
You got to tell that story.
So dumb me. We're
gonna pull your man.
Oh, I'm still gonna go. Don't
you are?
I'm gonna go.
Well, you never told me that, jackass. You just told me you bought a ticket, and now you're going to have to sell it.
No,
you have to go to the,
well, I was
feeling
bad, but I'm feeling bad, but I got Max to, he's going to use my ticket to the thing. So,
I need to buy, I need to buy a ticket.
You need to buy a ticket. Yeah, buy one.
I'm going to beat your ass.
Do it right now. Do it right now while we're talking about it. So anyway, we had talked about this last time. We got, and they opened some tickets up. So I went, bought, so all of a sudden I was like, man, as soon as we got off the show, I was like, I'm going to get this ticket. So I bought the ticket and I was all proud and stuff. And I was telling Kelly about it. She goes, what night is the opening of the Evansville Philharmonic? And I go, well, I don't know. I don't think it's that night. Guess what? It is. It's that night.
Well, the Evansville Philharmonic should not schedule shows.
I know.
On a Saturday night.
And it's a Tchaikovsky too, which I actually would have enjoyed that, because that's one of my favorites. But anyway, so I got it all figured out. But yeah, I am going to go. I was going to try to sell the ticket, but of course I'm not going to. I got to go. I got to see Kiss one more time. Shitheads. I've never seen Rob Zombie, and I would like to see that. You know, I've seen now. I would like to see though Kane Roberts playing with them. I think that'll be interesting to see how that works.
Oh, with
out.
Alice?
With Alice.
Absolutely. I was.
Is John 5 playing with Rob Zombie still?
Yes.
See, now I've never seen John 5, so I'm not a big Rob Zombie fan, but I
here's
do
something.
Wanna...
Speaking of John 5, something that's pretty cool. Okay. When Rob Zombie was playing somewhere near wherever Peter Criss is.
Sure.
It was John 5's birthday, and Rob Zombie managed to get Peter Criss to come out and sing happy birthday to John 5 on stage at the show.
I bet John about passed out.
Oh, I bet he did.
He's seen this last week.
Right in his drawers.
That was just this last week, right?
Was it the last week or the week before?
Yeah, I saw a picture where they took the picture together, so I was like going, because, you know, he's a he's probably collection wise, he's probably second to Gene.
His collection is impressive.
Exactly. Yep. Actually, he's got shit that Gene doesn't have. Gene has all the standard sold stuff, but he has like a lot of worn, you know. Yeah, he's got a lot of shit.
On a sad musical note, the lead singer for Grim Reaper passed away.
I saw that today.
Earlier today or yesterday, I think. Yeah.
He was not familiar with their music.
They had the song "See You in Hell." Yeah. That was really the only one that got any video play that I ever.
He looked a lot like my a girl I knew, her brother. When we used to watch that video, it's like, man, he looks.
I thought he was going to say a girl I used to date.
That's exactly what I thought he was going to say. I'm like.
No,
damn,
it would have been an ugly woman. That would have been a really ugly woman. Trust me.
Wait, if you got enough alcohol, it don't matter.
That's true. All right,
we're all pretty closing time.
So we don't have a guest tonight, but we had been talking about last week. We talked about this record because I had bought this album and purchased it. But I'll put it like this so you can see it. But we're going to talk about the Kiss Off the Soundboard Live Donington.
It looks like 17th. His hair is tied with a Target bag. Did you see that?
Oh, I know. That bag is back there.
You pull it down. There's some Christmas and you got a big bow on the back of your head. It's a Target bag. It looks great, man.
Next week, this blur is gone. I'm going to get this. Like I said, tomorrow I told Kelly this shit's going back in the closet tomorrow.
Next week, he'll be like I've been for the last 4 years and have something just hanging in the background.
But anyway, we're going to talk about this album. Like I said, I still have not listened to this album. I've listened to the recording on Spotify, but I have not pulled the album out yet. And I did get the red. I think it is red, isn't it?
Yeah, it's red.
Yeah. But this is the third authorized Kiss Live bootleg series. And it's kind of weird the way they put it. Third authorized live bootleg series. Okay, that's kind of odd.
Well, there are a lot of other ones that are out there that are unauthorized.
That's true, but it's a bootleg. It's not a bootleg. This is a soundboard recording. Anyway, three LPs, 180 gram red vinyl set, and this was, of course. I tell you what, this is. We were talking about this the other day. This is probably my favorite live album of Kiss, period. I know some of you guys like the Unplugged because we talked about that last week. And we have a live one, live two, live three, the orchestra symphony. But to me, and the other two soundboards, but this to me is my favorite. All out. I really, really like it.
We can tell.
What's your general thoughts on the whole thing before we start talking about it?
For me, I like, and I've said this in previous episodes, I like that they have got Paul's guitar hard panned in one direction, Ace's guitar hard panned in the other direction, so you can really hear the separation and hear what each of them are playing. Right. You know, the bass it's Gene's bass from the reunion. It's nice and it's growly, and, you know, and the drums, you know, I don't know if at that point he was using triggers yet or not, but the drums sound pretty good on this one too.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say about that.
I think from a quality perspective, I thought the mix, I know it's not mixed because it's straight off the soundboard, but
sure.
That's a little bit lacking because I think you miss the lead guitar and periodically it's in the background. Right. Gene's bass is up way too loud in some spots for me anyway. But overall, I like the song selection on this record. And when you think back about it, you know, this was off the reunion tour and just sure. Really, well, the first year of the reunion tour too, which matters because.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's still early on before they started.
When did we see them in Lowell? Do you remember?
Second
June
show.
June the 30th, 1996.
Yeah.
So I was carrying a pager because I was about to be a dad.
So this
my wife was like, you know how close we came to paging you? And I was like, I was waiting for it.
How many seconds apart were you?
You were almost.
He wasn't born for another 10 days.
You were almost a dad, and Bill became a dad.
That's the legend, anyway.
Well, you got to la 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 la
la la la. No, but
so this would have been 2 months later.
Yeah, she said we were going to page you, but we thought you would really get pissed off, and I'm like, you would have been 100% correct.
That would be 100% correct.
That would be the one time that I really would have been mad.
Yeah, that was but anyway. Yeah, but the record, I think the record, I mean, I do like the song selection. There's a couple, I wrote a couple of notes, but in general stuff, but nothing bad. Paul's vocals were great.
Exactly.
You know, it's kind of funny because I get a little annoyed that he does little runs where he says the city's down like Donington. He goes on that little run thing like, dude, that's why your voice is shot, because you do that shit that nobody really cares about, so stop doing that. But
you know what, I like that.
Well, I like it when he does it in the songs. I don't care for it when it's just like freelance and it's just fine, but whatever. But it's okay. But otherwise I do like it. I don't have the Virginia Beach soundboard version. I think they sold 12 copies of that, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe
I've
13.
Listened to it on Spotify, but I don't own it. And there's a reason why, because it sounds terrible.
Yeah, I would like something from that. I would, and I don't know what year that's from. Do you know what year the Virginia Beach is from?
2004.
2004. Yeah.
You know, it's funny because they did the Rock the Nation thing, and they did those instant lives for all.
Yeah,
and
which you have, so people have it.
And I don't think they did an instant live for this show.
Because they were planning this.
Which they were probably, they've probably been planning this for since the reunion started. Right.
Could have been.
You know, that would be my guess, because I have all of the instant lives from that entire tour, and I'm almost positive that Virginia Beach is not in there.
Yeah, I wanna hear off the soundboard from Asylum Show or something in that era.
That's what
I want to hear.
That would be bomb digging.
That or Animalize. I want to hear that.
Oh, I've got some soundboards from Animalize.
So
how about Creatures?
I do. Creatures? No.
I just listened to that last week.
Yeah, I listened. I watched that.
You know, some of that stuff was on YouTube, and it was off of YouTube so fast, I never got a chance to check any of it out.
Yeah. I listened to it one time, but it was actually some pretty good recordings. But anyway.
The other thing about that record too, what are we going to do? Are we going by song by song?
Yeah, I'm going to go through the song. Yeah, we're going to kind of go through this. Kind of go through the record.
All right. Then I'll hold all other comments for a moment.
So, like I said, this was two months after we saw them. And I agree with everything you guys said. I think that Paul's voice was still fantastic at that point. I think Gene's voice on a whole is not as good as it usually is.
I would agree. But
I like the way he carries on some of the songs. Changes it. Go ahead.
I have a theory. They signed a deal with the devil, but part of the deal was only one of them could have a good voice per tour. I'm kidding, you Kiss fans. Just fucking leave me alone. Right. It's a joke.
Knights in Satan's service. You know that's how it happened.
But like you were all saying too, though. I mean, Ace's playing is really good. Peter is set drums like Trigger or whatever. You know, they sound great. They were on fire at this point. You know, they were at their peak at the reunion tour. All right, so we're going to start this off. This was Donington, and they start out, of course, with Deuce. Imagine that. That's an unusual way to start a Kiss concert.
You know, now it's funny, because when me and my friend Mike were driving to Louisville, we argued on the way to Louisville, were they going to start with Deuce, or were they going to start with Detroit Rock City?
Right.
And I was like, there's no fucking way they're going to play anything but Detroit Rock City. And they started out with this, and he's like, ha ha, motherfucker, I told you.
That's funny.
But anyway, Deuce, like I said, it is a great way to start a show. And then, like I said, they're playing it good.
Yeah.
Any other remarks on that?
Yeah.
I know you said you had some things. Okay. Then they come in with a little bit of at the guitar. He's laughing.
What the hell was that?
That was my guitar thing.
Sounded like you were trying to fuck a cat.
You haven't played for a while.
King of the nighttime world. There you go. But that's kind of out left field second song coming in, but what a way to do that.
Right.
Good.
You know, then it wasn't the whole thing of the reunion tour. The whole thing for me was a treat, right. You know, because I'd never seen Kiss in makeup. So it was a dream come true for the guy that's 5 years younger than the rest of y'all. But, at the time, King of the Nighttime World, I wasn't surprised they play it. But when you go back and look at the set lists now, it's like, oh my God, that was such a treat.
It was. You know? Big time.
Yeah, I'd heard it before live. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, see, I hadn't.
Was it in Robert Stadium in 1978?
It was in 1978. New Robert Stadium again and then again.
1979.
Yeah. But of course, you know, and I know you mentioned this earlier. I just love in between the fact of hearing Paul's voice when it was so strong at that point, not like, you know, now, okay, his voice sounds great when they're singing, but in between songs, it's like he's gargling glass, you know, it's just horrible now. And to hear him do that, and then, Donington, yeah, that shit, that brings a big ass smile to my face because I'm like going, oh, I forgot about that. I love that part of it. You know, all that extra, like you said, just ripping his throat to shreds, but it sounds so fucking good. And it does. It brings a smile to my face.
Yeah. When you hear him start it, you're like, oh, please don't do it.
But I mean,
at least do us a favor.
Did you count and see how many times he said, we're just getting started? I know he used to say that a lot.
No, I don't think he said it very much.
He cursed a couple times on here. It was kind of interesting. He was all foul mouthed back in the asylum.
The asylum, yeah, like, animalized. Yeah, it was.
But he threw a shit and something else. I can't remember what it was. But I thought that was kind of funny. And so anyway, King of the Nighttime World, great song. And then of course Bill's song comes up, number three. Little Do You Love Me, which, you know, it's.
That song's got some weird harmonies in it. Like, I want to know
when they do it live. It is really weird.
I think Ace is singing them lower, some of that lower.
I couldn't tell who was singing. I mean, it was like you couldn't tell. And during the refrain, you couldn't tell who was singing. It was just you couldn't tell who the backups were because it didn't really sound like Ace, but it sounded. I mean, it was weird. I don't know who it was.
I think him and Peter are both.
I think Peter was singing a little bit, but it was just
kind
off.
Of. They're just kind of meddling in together. I don't know. I'm like you. There's sometimes you can't figure out who's doing the backing vocals on some of that stuff.
I thought it was good though. I mean, I liked it. I thought it sounded really good. Trust me. Yeah, very good. But I just couldn't figure it out. I'm like, man, who is that? And I listened to it like twice, you know, earlier today, just because like. Man, I'm trying to figure it out. I can't figure it out.
But anyway, great song. Fantastic song.
Definitely one of my faves.
I was too busy listening to Laura cussing in the background.
What's she saying? Hey, we're going to blow some shit up.
Does she have Tourette's again?
We're not done, motherfuckers.
She did for a minute.
Yeah. She has Alan, episodic Tourette's.
She goes, Alan Tate, I'm going to kick your ass.
No, for a change, it wasn't me. Actually, her Tourette's was self-inflicted.
So. Oh, there you go.
I have that periodically.
All right. So next on the list, after Do You Love Me, we have Calling Dr. Love.
Which is Alan's favorite Kiss song.
Yep. There you go.
It's full of hits, I tell you. Full of hits.
Gene changes up the way he sings that too. Did you notice that?
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Did you like? I mean, I'm like you. I really didn't actually really notice it till today. And I'm driving home, and I got my earbuds in, and I'm really listening to it, you know, really close. And instead of going, you know, full of sin, you know, where you always knock that shit off at the end, he's just letting it go. And it's like that's kind of different. Never heard him do it that way, and I've never heard him do it since then.
So say that again. I'm a little confused.
So when he goes, you know, even though I'm full of sin, instead of cutting it off, he just kind of keeps
drug
going
it out a little longer.
He drug it out. I think it's just in that first verse too.
And he's probably trying to remember the words.
It's like sin.
Honest to God's
word. What's the next word? Oh, there it is. But I mean, he does. He changes. He this whole show. Gene does change up the way he sings certain songs because, you know, usually he is basically cookie cutter. This is the way I sing this. This is the way I sing that. And he does change it up. And I don't know if it's just the excitement. I mean, Donington was a big show. I mean, that was a big show.
So. They're still pretty early on in the reunion tour, and he's probably thinking, man, guess how much money we made tonight.
You know? Well, that, and you know, here he's out with the makeup again. Okay, he hasn't played in makeup on a big stage. You know, I'm sure I'm sure it's different. I'm sure, you know, he's got so much adrenaline going and all this bullshit. You know, he's kind of maybe the demon, you know, it's part of that demon-esque bullshit.
Yeah, put into perspective, though, the last tour before that.
Oh, yeah.
And how many butts were in the seats?
You're playing for about 4,500 people in a 15,000 seat arena. You're playing for about a third of the way.
And the speed at which you're playing those songs during that time frame was pretty fast.
Right. Well, now, by the time they got to Revenge, they had started slowing them songs
down. That's true.
You know? Yeah, that's true. Revenge was a great tour.
And I think, you know, it's my understanding that when they were doing the Revenge stuff, you know, Eric kind of did have a little bit of input of, you know, these are the songs the fans want to hear. You know, let's play these old songs. Let's play them a little more traditionally and such. You know, I mean, that's what I've heard over the years. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. Right. But by the time Revenge rolled around, they had at least started slowing the songs back down to non-Chipmunk speed.
Right. Yeah. But again, the stadiums still were, you know.
Dismal.
But the Revenge tour was freaking awesome. And that show was awesome. But yeah, and I think that's part of it. I mean, I think that's when you listen to that, and you know, Ace a couple times. Well, when you get to Shock Me, you know, Ace makes a couple comments. It's just like, that's kind of odd.
No, I know. Thanks, but Paul. Anyway, but they're still, like I said, I think just listening to the way he phrases and like this changes the way he's singing some of these songs. I just found very interesting. Going to the next, then we go into a little, I want you people to make it back next year. Don't go out and like kill yourself or something. That was kind of odd. Do anything like that. Don't do that.
That was his Rock Against Drunk Driving commercial.
Yeah, don't kill yourself or something like that. But anyway, I love the fact that Ace sings that second verse.
And when they're doing, changed it up a little bit.
And then when they're also singing toward the end, when they're doing the call, the Dr. Love, or not Dr. Love, but the Cold Gin stuff, Ace is singing just as loud as Gene is. I mean, they're both just hammering that microphone. And it, like I said, these dudes were on fucking fire. I mean, it was at their best, you know. So there you go. What's your thoughts, guys?
That's because they were having Cadillac dreams.
Yeah. No, they were all, you know, fresh of losing some weight, getting their shit together, staying a little sober than they, you know, more sober than they had been for a while.
Maybe.
Some of them.
Maybe.
But anyway. But no, I thought Cold Gin was, I thought it was, of course, you know, that's a great, great staple song, and it sounds great.
Yep.
I remember going into Let Me Go Rock and Roll, which never can go wrong with that song.
Much better rendition on this tour than on the Psycho Circus tour.
Oh.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only tour I have not seen in. I did not see that tour, and I didn't see the summer thing when they went out for that short run. Rockin' America or whatever it was called. Whatever that tour
I
was
saw
called.
Psycho Circus, and it was terrible. Yeah, I saw that at. Saw that.
They need to see the 3D.
I was
going to
ask if it was a Terre Haute show.
I saw it at home, and they didn't play Evansville. I got a last minute ticket. What's funny was I went with Rod and his girlfriend at the time, because he was recently divorced and he had a date. They were sitting up on the where Holman comes around, like where it's ground level at that point. They had two seats over here. I bought a last minute ticket and I was right on the very bottom on the floor. Right next to the stage where whenever Paul sang Love Gun, that was the first time he'd done it. I was right there. I was like 8 feet away from Paul. I'm sitting there going, looking at Rod going like, fuck you. Look at me. Last minute ticket. right here.
Bitch. Yeah, that happened when I went to see Alice Cooper one time. I bought a single ticket and ended up dead center, like the third or fourth row. My buddies that I went with had tickets from day one. And they were like off to the side, eight or nine rows back.
That was the same deal. I mean, I did. I bought the last minute and rode up with them. And,
sometimes it pays to do that.
Yeah. But anyway, Holman, that was a good place to go. But no, I do like that. I tell you, the bass, and I know, Bill, you said it's a little louder for your taste than sometimes on this album.
Well, it just muddied up the song, you know. Right. That's all.
I love to hear Gene's bass. I think he's just an underrated bass player, and to hear it kicking like it does, I mean, it's that's a good bass sound on this album. I mean, that's one of my favorite things about this album is the bass level. And if my thing was unblurred, you could see my cat taking a shit right now. Actually, you couldn't, because there's a bit I could hear him over scratching. Better cover.
That's an omen of what this episode is going to be like.
7:19. That's about right. We started a little early, so little fucker. Anyway, any other words about "Let Me Go Rock and Roll"?
Nope.
All right. Next, we have some "Shout It Out Loud." Great. Another great
isn't
song.
This another one where Ace got a later on in the song got his own. Got to sing a line by himself.
Yes, yes. Yeah. There is one person, I guess it's Peter, singing at one point at the very end when they go through doing the reel as far as everybody gets to do, you know, Gene says, "Oh, yeah." And I don't know what Peter's saying. I backed it up three times trying to figure out what the hell he's saying. But he says something, and it doesn't make any sense. I don't know what it is. So if anybody out there knows what it is, I mean, and it doesn't even sound like Peter. It just sounds like something, I don't know. I can't, it's intelligent.
It's probably Tommy singing for Peter.
But it could be. You know. Tommy's like going, "I'm going to sing this motherfucker."
might have been anyway, he was doing backing vocals. Who knows?
Yeah. But anyway, no, I mean, that song always sounds great live. I mean, it's just, and like I said, I think that Paul and Ace's guitar playing together in whatever, you know, that they need to be done. I know there's a lot of those songs that have the double lead type stuff, and it just, they do a very good job. Like I said, Ace is on his game right here. I think, and we'll talk about it here in a minute, but there's one part he's not on his game, but anything else about Shout It Out Loud, you guys?
Nope. Good.
All right.
Nope.
So we're going to go on with Watching You. Watching You is one of my favorite Kiss songs, period. I just don't think it comes, it's good, but it's not that good on here. I don't know. I was really let down by this song on this album.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, and I can't tell you why. It just doesn't, everything doesn't jive. I don't know. I don't think Gene's voice is as good as it usually is. I think that Gene's playing is a little sloppier than normal, maybe. I just don't know. It just doesn't, for some reason, as much as I love this song, I just don't think it's that good of a recording for that song, for this one.
Well, this is another one of those that I will say at the time when you hear them doing it early on in the tour, you know, you don't know what you're going to get. So it's pretty cool to hear it. But looking at what they've played over the past 20, 25 years, this is another one of those. It's a gem in the set list.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
For me, anyway.
Did you get that? I mean, did you guys get any of that listening to that? I mean, did you think it was a little off, or was it just me?
Listened to it, but I didn't pay that close of attention to that song, I guess.
I don't know. For some reason,
There were a couple songs I thought that Gene's vocals were not the greatest. That they were a little, I don't know. They just were a little off.
Yeah. And
I remember thinking that. I just couldn't tell you exactly which one for sure.
And of course, I like that, you know, that point where he gets that. Trying not to stare, you know, that gives it high, which he, you know, I know he can't hit that half the time, but it just, something's really off on this song, and I can't figure it out myself. But anyway, all right, so then we come up to a little bit of Firehouse. This is where we're going to get, of course, this is going to be Gene's, he's going to blow his fire at this point, so the song's a little elongated, you know, of course.
Yeah.
But you know, I really, I had sit down today, I was actually in Schnucks walking around on my way home with my earbuds in, and the line was long as fuck. And I'm sitting there going, well, shit, at least I'm listening to Kiss. And I'm sitting there listening to the Firehouse, and I'm just getting into it. I'm like thinking, what, that song, I love the structure of that song. I think it's, for as old of a song as it is a well-written, well, I mean, it's just a really good song. I don't know. It's one of those ones you do. I don't really get tired of it.
No, I like that song.
I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got a little bit of, it's just not your typical three chord song, number one. And it just fits. There's some great parts of that. But it is a little elongated, of course, because of the fire.
And I like Tommy Lee.
Elongated. Shlongated. That's what that is.
Yeah, tomorrow I'm going to see a band with a one arm drummer and a band with a three arm drummer. So, what's your point?
Somebody the other day, I think it was.
We're going to get way off here.
No, real quick. This Matt Porter, or no, wasn't it Matt Porter? Somebody made the comment. Oh, no, it was who's the drummer guy we know with all the tattoos, lives in Canada, Rockin' Pod.
Lee McCormick. Whites.
Yeah, Lee McCormick.
Oh, yeah, Lee made a
comment. Somebody, he was made a comment. Somebody, he was listening to this song by Def Leppard, by the, what he is about, but see, a song by the Nine Arm Band or something like that.
I saw that.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, Lee's pretty, he's hilarious. All right. So, talking about elongated songs, we're going into, Ace is going to sing you a song. Let him tell you what he's going to sing. Well, what do you think it's going to be? It's going to be a little shocking.
Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Didn't even say it to no point, because I can't listen to the whole thing because I get tired of it.
I can't listen to it either.
But the thing was like, I'm going to blow some shit up now.
Well, you know, it's funny because when we saw them, you know, I was not a fan of the song New York Groove.
Right.
You know.
Really?
So when they came out and he had that flashing guitar and that song started, I was at a loss. I'm like, what the fuck are they playing?
Right.
Just because I did not like that song and I did not really know that song that
right.
well. And it took me until they got into the chorus to figure out, oh, shit, now I know what that is. You know?
But did you like it anymore?
No. Honest to God, I never liked that song.
He's honest.
Until the Brooklyn Bridge show.
Right.
Now, oh,
when
yeah.
they performed New York Groove that night, that is when I started liking that song. That is the best performance of that song that they've ever done or they ever will do.
Well, I have to admit, too. I mean, that song, of course, you know, that was the hit off of his solo album. And I'm like thinking, God damn, there's so many other great songs on that album. It never did a thing for me ever. Never, ever, right. ever. Even yeah, acoustically, it's like, what are you doing? That's yeah. it's just fucking terrible. So anyway,
yeah,
I'm not a fan. But anyway, Shock Me, I think, sounds great on here. And I think even at the beginning, he's just, when he gets, even his leads he's playing all night are so good, but he gets into a solo and is just so fucking corny and so stupid sounding. Nope. You're gonna get us.
I'm gonna get a DMCA rap.
I turned it off right away.
I
was trying to see how long the song was. That's what I was trying to figure out. I have it now. It's like 12 minutes and 42 seconds.
And it is 6 minutes of just, and he's playing, and the stupid thing is he's playing some of the dumbest fucking licks.
Yeah, it's 7 minutes let's see. It's
however long it is too long.
Yeah.
The intro to
this too long.
The solo that he was doing to the intro to his main solo is pretty decent. And then when it's the solo time, it's the worst fucking solo I've ever heard. What's going on? I hear something in my ear.
He's got one of them bugs burrowing into his ear.
Probably does.
So anyway, yeah, it's 6 minutes way too long. So anyway, we all agree.
Like
this
show. The show has been like 40 minutes.
This show's fun. I'm having a good time. So at least they save the fucking thing and throw some Strutter out there. What a great song. I love that song.
Yep.
You can't
good
get
tunes.
It. Yeah. It rips ass. Now we're going to elongate another song. We're going to go into a little God of Thunder.
And now we have Dennis's favorite word.
Elongated. Yeah, we're going to use that. elongated. Anyway, no, we have God of Thunder. And I love the way they do that now. I think I'm kind of burnt on the song itself. But when you see him do it live now with all the Gene heads and all that shit, I love the way visually, they do it
it's
now.
Very cool.
Visually, it's very fucking cool. And Peter plays the drums on there are they do a good job of this. But like I said, then they're getting is it part of the drum solo in this? Or there's a
drum solo's in 100,000 years.
But Love Gun or not Love Gun, God of Thunder has it's longer too though, isn't it? Here, I'm gonna pull
it's
up.
Stretched out because that's where he does his blood.
Oh,
yeah, you can't play it. We're getting in trouble.
That's right. I turned my volume off. So it's 11 minutes, 11 minutes long. So yeah, it's way too long.
Oh, you just to see how long the song was.
Yeah,
like what I did.
He wanted to see if the song was elongated.
But I turned my volume down so I wouldn't play it. People, we're gonna do a little. So anyway, so then Kelly was walking in at this next point. When I was playing, I had it playing on the stereo with, and I go, Kel, guess what? He's talking about his dick. His 8-inch love gun coming to your country packing.
We're in England, so we don't use inches, we use centimeters.
Hence the 8.
My flesh colored revolver. Anyway, so. Anyway, so they do Love Gun.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to apologize.
You guys have seen what is that movie with the kids in it? They go, hear this song? He's talking about
the dude that played Stifler in it.
Yeah, what is that movie? Yeah, it's
pretty cool. Role Models.
Models. Yeah, he's talking about his dick.
I thought you were talking about that show called The Good Boys. Have you seen that show?
No. Good Boys. What is
that? Dude, that show is it's hilarious.
For some reason, I'm thinking I have, but I don't. Who's
all right,
we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that after. Okay. So anyway, Squirrel. So Love Gun, of course, is a great. I mean, they're just tearing it up. It sounds good. There's nothing wrong with it. It's only 4 minutes and 42 seconds long, so we're good. 100,000 Years comes up. But, you know, it's only 5 minutes and 20 seconds long.
Well, yeah, it's pretty normal compared to the other two songs they drug out for 15 minutes.
But 100,000 Years on the original.
Maybe they did do the drum solo on God of Thunder. I don't remember.
There was some drum, extra drums on God of Thunder. It's what I'm saying, because 100,000 Years is only 6 minutes long, or five. It's 5 minutes long.
Okay, so I know which listener is stroking out about this. Sorry, dude.
My cyclic and going, motherfuckers. All right. Anyway, 100,000 Years, I know on a live one, it's very long. It's super
about 100,000 years too long.
It's too long. But I do love that song. I think it's great, great, great song. Of course, after that, another great staple. Get to hear, you know, Paul do that stupid play that stupid chord for ever.
Dennis impersonation.
There you go. That's pretty good. It's 9 minutes and 50 seconds long. So
yeah.
But a little Black Diamond, which that's, you know, gotta love that. Peter just tears that up. He, you know, his vocals on that are so good. And it's just a great song. You guys want to jump in on that?
No.
I want to jump in on the next one.
All right. So anyway.
We're going to Donington Rock City.
Yeah, so, you know, here it is. You know, we're all used to hearing this song first off. Well, now here comes Detroit Rock City, the second to the last song. I mean, how weird is that?
That was strange.
Now, was that part of the encore, or did they do an encore on this? I don't remember.
You know, I don't know. I don't know, Alan. You know, their Donington show is on. Actually, I was going to try to watch it the other day before we did their show, but I didn't get a chance to do it. But Donington's, the whole thing's on YouTube, and I was going to watch it to see how that worked. But I don't know if they had The album doesn't say anything about an encore. I mean, it doesn't. There's nothing.
I don't know.
I don't
know. Encores are stupid anyway.
Yeah, they're fucking.
Just play like, your 20 songs and get the fuck out.
Yeah. Yeah, no shit. Turn the lights on. It's like, really? You're done? Okay. It's like, yeah, we have to yell for you for 5 minutes. Like, really?
We want kiss. We want kiss. Yeah, we heard it.
So anyway, Detroit Rock City. But you know what? I've heard that song a gajillion times. I'm just, I don't know. I'm just, the last two
songs. There's
something
about hearing that. You know, it's kind of funny because there's something about listening to those songs on the radio and there's something about seeing them performed live. It's just different. Just in the moment, true. You're just jacked up and hurts racing.
True.
Now, be honest. Be honest. If you're out somewhere and you hear da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you immediately get jacked up.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But not much.
But I'm like you. If Rock and Roll All Night comes on the radio, I'm reaching for the knob as fast as I can fucking grab it. But well, if I'm at the concert,
TMI,
I know
that's pretty much TMI. Normal for you, I think.
No, but I'm saying the radio knob.
Now, honestly, it depends to me. Are they playing the Alive version or are they playing the Dress to Kill version?
Doesn't matter. I'm pretty. But at a concert, I know it's the last song. And I'm into it. You know, it's like, okay, here we're going to get the confetti and everything, you know, and all the blowing up shit at the end. It makes it worth it. But just to hear it on the radio, it's like, dude, I've heard that song. And the thing is, you know, if a radio station is going to play fucking Kiss, it's going to be either Beth or Rock and Roll All Night. I mean, that's just the two songs you're going to get, period.
Yep, a regular radio station. If you get XM. Yeah,
exactly.
It's occasionally you get some, they'll throw something else in there every now and then.
But all in all, this was 17 songs, and it's an hour and 40 minutes long, according to Spotify. Like I said, I know you're talking about you think the bass is too loud and blah blah blah. That's what makes it great for me. I like that part about it.
Yeah,
that's
I didn't say it was bad. I just said
everybody has their noticeable thing. But that's what makes it important to me because I like to hear Gene's bass. And I just think it just rocks balls.
But see, like now, Bill, the thing is you didn't say it was bad, but you didn't say it was good, so automatically you're wrong.
But no, to me, like I said, I just think it's one of those things where I'm so glad that they did get back together, you know, and do the reunion show. I'm glad that we got this, you know, recording, because at that point they were still, you know, the cracks had not even started at that point. You know, they're all still on their honeymoon as far as getting this thing back together, getting on the road. You know, everybody's making money, everybody's happy, everybody's great, you know, playing their best. Paul's voice is still there. You know, it's very harmonic.
Or as harmonic as it's going to get.
Yes, because at that point, right. You know, everything just goes downhill at this point, you know.
Well, at this point, but at some point,
you know what I'm,
that's
you know,
before
what I mean,
Peter
though.
Found out Ace was making more money.
Yeah, then his playing suddenly slowed down.
I do want to. Are you going to get the next soundboard?
I don't remember what the.
It's 77, 78. No. It's like
it's
a basically
Des Moines,
a lot.
Iowa. Yeah.
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 It's kind of like a basically a live two, I guess.
Yeah, I have a live two
from the Love Gun tour, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I might get that. I don't know. It just depends. The thing is, I'm not going to pre-order it because I do not like the way that Kiss Online does these pre-orders because they always get fucking delayed and everything else.
Have they showed the set list from that show yet?
I don't.
Of course, anybody that's got Kiss Alive Forever already knows this here. The set list.
I could whip here. That out for you.
Hold on. Let me get my handy dandy.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Let's see.
Is that Kurt. Are you talking about the Kurt Gooch book?
Yeah.
Oh, I heard something about Kurt Gooch this week.
Oh, we're not going to talk about any of that.
No, I'm just asking if that's the Kurt Gooch
Kurt,
book.
Kurt Gooch
and Jeff Suits. He was brought up today.
I don't know
today.
How it's pronounced.
Yeah, I watched. Did you
I
guys
have
watch
that book too. I'm just
did watch
really
that, did you watch that show? Did you watch that show?
No, and I'm not going to.
I watched it. I did.
No desire.
So was it the Rock and Roll Over tour?
No.
In 77, it would have been the Love Gun tour.
It would have been the Love Gun tour in 77. It would have been the Live 2 tour in 78.
So 77. Let's just look here. I'm just trying to find a set list. See November 15th. You should say, see 1974. That's the list.
That's what it says now.
I know. So basically, okay, so August 7th. Where was this? Where was this one you said?
Sioux Falls.
Des Moines, Iowa.
Oh, Des Moines, Iowa.
Des Moines. Okay, so Des Moines. I don't have. Okay, so anyway, here's a set list from
August 17th. At least you got the continent right.
Here's I Stole Your Love, Take Me, Ladies Room, Firehouse, Love Gun, Hooligan, Christine 16, Making Love, Shock Me, Solo, I Want You, Calling Dr. Love, Shout It Out Loud, Bass Solo, God of Thunder, Peter Criss Solo, Rock and Roll All Night, Detroit Rock City, Beth and Black Diamond.
I would listen to that at least once.
I'm going to do is I'm not going to pre-order it. I'm just going to order it like everybody else does. I'm going to get it off Amazon. I just want the black. I don't need if it's fucking blue or green or whatever goddamn color they got this time. I'm going to get a black 180 gram, be done with it. So I would be interested in that because that'll still be a good sounding show. So the 2004 one didn't impress me at all because Paul was losing his voice at that point. It's a little rough.
Yeah, that was the beginning of the end there.
That was, you know, and then the Tokyo was what year?
2001.
Yeah, I've got that one, and it's still.
Well, that's what I think is cool about that one is it's Ace and Eric.
Right, and that's the reason I bought that one. That's the reason I got that one too. Yeah, because Ace was still playing really good at that one too. So, all right. Well, other than that, like I said, if you guys like it or don't like it or special parts of the song, let us know. Do all that crap, you know. But I think we're pretty well done with this.
Well, before we go, I forgot to bring this up earlier.
Oh,
my wife was giving me shit earlier because I seem to always wear the same Kiss shirts, even though I have like 30,
right,
or something like that.
Four or five shirts too. Who gives a shit?
No. She said I wear the same shirt. You got to wear something different. So I did. So this is really different. So you can't hardly see it, but I wore. And football season started unofficially yesterday. Yeah. It's the LA Kiss.
Oh, okay.
Arena football team,
which lasted what, a year?
Yeah, whatever, dude. It was
look
a
at
couple
me.
Years.
I'm fucking representing Ages of Rock, cocksuckers. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. I need to grow some hair, man. My hair looks really bad.
Your hair, I'm telling you, you look like you just made something with a flux capacitor. I'm telling you.
I think I did.
Hey, Doc. I'm
back to the future.
Hey, Doc. All right, Alan, you want to do your shit?
No, but I will anyway.
Okay.
Y'all visit us on agesofrock.com. Check out our social media links and past episodes. And until next time, peace out. And I didn't fuck it up this week. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.